Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
All right, man, we are kicking off week two today. If you're here last week, we are in a part of a series that we're calling It's About Time. My name is Trey Kelly, by the way, if you're a guest. I'm the pastor here. And, hi. And if you are a guest, we are in a series, and I want to explain what that is very quickly. What we do is we spend a couple of weeks discussing a topic that most people struggle with that we believe God solves. And so last week, we began a topic about time, and the series is called It's About Time, because we're really creative. It's about time, and so we just called it It's... You're supposed to laugh more at that? You didn't. Hopefully this gets better. It's going to be a long time. But if you missed last week, here's what I'm going to encourage you to do. If what you're here today is intriguing, if you want to know more about last week, or if you know you're going to travel for the next few weeks, go ahead and bookmark this website, wellspringchurch.tv/itsabouttime. We put every series we do is up there. For right now, you can go to It's About Time, and it'll have week one, week two, and this is going to be a four-week series. And I really encourage you to check it out, because we really do believe that what God has to say about our time can be very freeing. We believe that it can produce a better life in us. If you were here last week, we talked about how time is pretty much a universal struggle. You struggle with time. I struggle with time. You're busy. I'm busy. We all feel busy. We all feel like we don't have enough time to do the things we want to do. And here's what we discovered last week. We discovered that God is aware of this. God is aware that you feel busy, that I want busy. And what we learned is that God actually wants better than busy for your life. He wants better than the running around, never feeling like you can catch your breath, never feeling like you can catch up. He wants better than that. And the reason he wants better than that is this. It's because busy often blocks what's best. It often blocks the best things in our lives. I mean, you probably have an example, I know I do, of times where I've been so busy that I didn't do something I knew I should have done, and I've regretted it. You know, I dropped the ball, I let a family member down, let a friend down, just because I was so busy. And in fact, what I would like to do is I would like to tell you a story about a time when I was busy, when I was so busy. If you're here last week, I mentioned this story, and this is the story my staff has begged me not to tell you. And I'm going to tell you, because when the story is over, you are going to think, wow, we should probably leave. So if you're here today because you think I'm perfect, and you come to this church or whatever because you think I'm perfect, I am going to shatter your illusions today. But they should have been shattered anyway, because I've never once claimed to be. I'm a dude just like y'all. God just decided to put me up here and says, say what I want you to say. And that's what I try to do. But I wanted to tell you this story because in my life, there's been many times where busy has blocked what's best. And kind of the best story that I can remember was, it was either late 2005 or early 2006. Our oldest son, David, was probably about 6 months old. He was still in one of those little baby carrier things, and he lived in that thing for a few years, probably longer than he should, but we'll talk about that later. And at the time, my wife was teaching kindergarten in Fort Worth, Texas. I was in seminary in Texas, full-time seminary student, trying to get my master's degree in theology so I could become a preacher. And I was also on staff at a church we talk about often here at Wellspring. It's called Keystone Church. We had started that church in the fall of 2004, and by the end of six, we were planning to lease a building. We were trying to raise money. I was overseeing all of that, and so I was very busy. I mean, 60, 80-hour weeks were common with school. Many times, the guys we were starting the church with, like, this isn't a joke, I can remember multiple times, like at midnight, we'd have a conference call, and we were just running. We were running hard. We loved what we were doing. We were excited. And that was just kind of my life right then. I was just busy all the time. So one evening, I got home from work to find David in his car seat in the middle of the den. And beside David in his car seat in the middle of the den was my wife, crying in pain, telling me how bad her back hurt. Now, I wish I could tell you that what I did was said, my darling dear, I love you so. How can I help? It's not what I said, folks. What I said was some version of, really, I don't have time for this. Yeah, that's the response. That's the appropriate response, but I'm just warning you, it gets worse. So we can either laugh about it or we can all go home. Those are our two options because it gets so much worse. In my head, I was like, I do not have time for this. I got this to do, really. And I looked at her and I said, look, just seriously, does it really hurt? Your back hurts? Oh, I'm sorry, take an Advil. And finally, she was crying. And I thought she was overreacting. And so I said, just go get in bed, and I'll take care of David. And so she went and got in bed. After about an hour, she comes back out. She's still crying. She's like, it hurts so bad. I don't know what to do. And so I kind of lost my temper. I was like, fine, if it hurts that bad, we should go to the doctor. And she's like, yes, please, let's go to the doctor. Let's go to the doctor right now. And again, I'm like, can't you drive yourself? And I had so much to do. I was so busy. And she couldn't drive herself. And you know, she was talking about the emergency room, but not only was I busy, we were poor and I was cheap. And I was like, I ain't going to the ER, man. Like, they will charge me an arm and a leg for some Advil. No. So we went to doctor's care. And we waited forever. When we finally got back, they said, yeah, look, you're going to have to go to the emergency room because we can't do anything. We don't have an x-ray. We can't do this. It could be this, it could be that. And then they said two words that changed my life forever. They said, or it could be kidney stones. And it was at that moment that my heart sank because I knew that's what it is. It's kidney stones. We go to the ER, we get some x-rays. Doctor comes in, sure enough, my wife had kidney stones. Not little kidney stones, big old kidney stones. And I had told her to get over it. Well, she got some medicine, went to a specialist. She was fine after a week. Luckily, she did not leave me. She did not move out. But I tell you, to this day, I'm not proud of it. I regret it with all my heart. I can't go back and change it. All I can try to do is change going forward, but it is so clear to me that in that moment, I was trapped in busy. I was trapped in believing that busy is better. I was trapped in believing, I've got to work, I've got to do this, I've got to do this. I don't have time to take care of my wife. Now again, hopefully none of you have a story that bad. But here's what I know. In a room this size, some of you have stories that are worse. Some of you are judging me right now, and that's fine. Judge away. I would judge me if I were you. But it's the reason we're doing this. It's because I felt trapped. And maybe you feel trapped. When I've been talking about busy last week and talking about busy more, like, you just kind of blow it off because you're like, I can't have any better. I can't. I don't know what would change. And that's why we're beginning with the promise we learned last week, which is that God wants better than busy for our life. Because busy often blocks what's best. Busy definitely blocked what was best for me and best for my wife and best for my family in this moment. I simply should have stopped and asked this question. I should have stopped and asked, God, is this the best use of this time in my life? And God would have said, yeah, take care of your wife. But can I admit something to you? Can I tell you the real struggle I have when I think back on that story? I'm not certain if I had even stopped and asked that question, I would have had the clarity to know what to do. Again, I was going to seminary to be a pastor, and I was working for a church. I could have easily told myself that all those things I was doing for God. And it would have been so easy for me. In fact, it was easy for me in that moment to convince myself, she'll be fine. I don't have to watch out for her because I'm doing more. And as I look back, there is no way that's what God wanted for me. There's no way that's what God planned for me. But I was so stuck. I was so trapped and busy that I completely and totally was blocked from what's best. And I am convinced that many of you in this room are in the same spot. Now, the good news is that God can fix this problem. God can solve this problem. He can make it better in your life. But what we all have to do together is willfully come to him and listen to what he has to say. And if you're here today and you don't even believe in God, you know, you're probably thinking right now, if that's what a preacher is, I don't ever want to believe in God ever again. And again, I don't blame you. I don't blame you one bit. But here's the cool thing about God. What we talked about last week, what we're going to talk about today, what we're going to talk about next week and the next week, are principles of God, they're truths of God. And even if you don't believe in him, you can apply them in your life. You can try to apply them in your situation and they will work. Because God's truth is God's truth, whether you believe in it or not. And what you don't know is that God is constantly trying to begin a relationship with you. And so if you try something that he says to try, he's going to bless it so that he can build a relationship with you. So no matter where you are today, I'm going to encourage you to lean in. If this is a struggle for you, if you feel like you're too busy, if you feel like you can never have time to breathe, I'm going to encourage you to lean in as we continue our series today. We're going to pick up right where we left off last week because there's a couple of fundamental things we have to all agree to before we can move forward. The number one thing we all have to agree to is that when it comes to our time, time's not really the issue. The problem isn't time. The problem is what we do with our time. We talked about this last week. The problem isn't time. It's what we do with our time. Most of us do not have a time problem. We have a priorities problem. My problem when my wife was hurting wasn't my time. It was my priorities. I had given my work, I had given my school a higher priority in my life than I had given my wife. Now, I would never say that. I would never admit that. In fact, if you had asked me the second before I walked in the door, what's more important, your job or your wife, I would have said, oh, my wife. And then I would have walked in and said, get up. Why are you being such a wimp? See, it's something we all have to come to grips with about our time. Most of us do not have a time problem. We have a priority problem. Here's how I know. Here's how I know. Every one of us in this room, we're all busy. You're busy. I'm busy. We all say we're busy. But here's what I know. You may be busy, but you make time for the things that matter in your life. If you love to play golf, you make time to play golf. If you love to hunt or fish, you make time to hunt or fish. If you love to go to lunch with your friends, you make time to go to lunch with your friends. If you love Facebook, why? If you love Facebook, you make time for Facebook. If you love cooking for your family, you make time to cook with your family. We all can make time for the things that we love. We all can make time for the things that are the most important to us. In fact, I bet if you think back to the last time someone asked you to do something and you said, I just don't have time, what you really meant was, that's not important enough to me to make time. And there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, over the next few weeks, I'm going to talk to you about how that's a good thing. How we should think through our priorities in our life and allocate our time accordingly. That is how we should approach the situation. Unfortunately, what we're all living in is the reverse. What we're all living in is a reality that you're not going to like and I don't like, but it's true. And the reality is this. When it comes to our time and our time reveals our priorities. I don't have to ask you what your priorities are. I can look at your week. I can look at how much time you spend. I can look at how much time you don't spend. And I can tell you what you value most, what matters most. And you're like, whoa, 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 whoa. No. Sometimes I have to do things. Sometimes I have to do this. But my time does not reveal my priorities. Here's why you believe that. You believe that the same reason I believe that. It's because you believe and I believe and we all believe when it comes to time, we believe that intentions matter. Well, I don't intend to be that way. I don't intend to act like my job matters more than anything else. I don't intend to act like my hobbies are more important than my family. I don't intend to do that. Quick question. Do you think when my wife was lying in bed with back pain, she was thinking, well, at least he doesn't mean it. At least he's not intending this. No. See, we get away with this with our time because we tell ourselves intentions matter. But here's the reality. Here's the core of reality when it comes to intentions. Intentions matter only when they change our behaviors. That's the only time intentions matter. We don't like that. We want to say, no. You don't get it. You don't get it. It's just a season. It's just something I'm having to go through. It's just this. It's just that. But it doesn't really mean I value other things more. Okay, that's fine. But our time will reveal our priorities. Unfortunately, the way I handled that situation revealed at that moment in my life, there were priorities in my life higher than her. Now, I have spent 14 years trying to fix that, and she didn't leave. Again, she's still here. So I'm doing better. I'm not good, but I'm doing better. But what I had to come to in my life was I had to realize that my intentions did not matter. I had to realize that I had to change my behaviors if I wanted it to get better. So here's my question for you. When you think about how you spent your last week, last few weeks, you can do in your head pretty quick how your time broke out. And if we simply just rank it, whatever you spent the most time doing is the most important thing. Whatever you spent the second most time doing is the second most important thing. Again, don't argue with me. Don't just think about it. Does that reflect your priorities? And if the answer is yes, change nothing. But if the answer is no, we have to get to the point where we realize intentions don't matter. That intentions matter only when they change our behaviors. And so if there are things in your life that are taking up more time in your life than they should have priority in your life, that means it's time to change some things. That means it's time to cut some things out, to stop doing some things so that you have more time for better things. And I know even when I say that, your heart starts beating fast. You push back. Like, what would I cut out? I don't want to cut out anything. Why would I cut out anything? But nobody else is cutting out anything. What are we going to do? See, when we start thinking about our own lives, thinking about how busy we are, how not busy we are, what will we cut, what will we not cut, we start thinking about other people and we go back to where we were last week. We go back to this idea that busy is better. You believe it, I believe it, we all believe it. Do you know why you actually believe busy is better? Do you know why I actually believe busy is better? You know why? Because everyone says so. That's why. The reason you feel like busy is better is because everyone in your life says busy is better. The reason you feel like busy is better is because everybody you know is acting the same way. It turns out peer pressure didn't go away in middle school. It didn't. Peer pressure still exists. And you experience peer pressure, and I experience peer pressure, and we experience in culture. I don't know about you, but even as an adult, it is hard to go against culture. And when I say culture, you're thinking, I mean like MTV, like Hollywood. I ain't talking about Hollywood. I'm talking about your office culture. I'm talking about your neighborhood culture. I'm talking about the culture of children's extracurricular activities. Oh, I heard some response. I'm talking about the culture of your friends. I'm talking about the culture of your neighborhood. It is very, very, very difficult to go against that culture. And every one of those cultures is believing the same lie, that busy is better. Add more, do more, get more, play more, practice more, work harder. It's just this continuous cycle. And here's a question. If your life looks exactly like everyone else's life, why would you expect better than everyone else has? If we all believe busy is better because everyone says so, and we're all living a busy is better life, we're all just going to be busy. Well, see, this is why God steps into the equation, because God's like, no, 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 no. See, I came to give you better than that. I came to give you better than what everybody else has. It's why I sent my son to die for you, and why I brought him back to life so that I could bring you back to life, so that I could give you better than what everybody else has. Following me in your life should produce better. But it can't and it won't as long as we continue to fall back into the culture of better is busy. As long as we continue to fall back into the culture of everyone says so. This is how bad it's gotten. This is how bad it's gotten. It's to the point that for most of us, if you're in a social setting and you're not busy, you feel ashamed. Think about it. Think about it the next time you were dropping a kid off at a sport or picking him up or you were leaving work and you were like, and your friends were like, hey, what are you doing this weekend? You said, nothing. I'm doing nothing. They'd be like, what a weirdo. What a loser. What's wrong with them? Now, like, we wear busy like a badge of honor. Come on, be honest, You know you do, I do it, we all do it. We wear busy like a badge of honor, and then when we get together, we like compete to see who has the biggest badge. You know, if you've ever been to a party, or again, maybe you're just a bunch of moms or a bunch of dads hanging out after practice or at work, just kind of talking over lunch or something, and like you start talking about who's the busiest, and it kind of turns into like this high-stakes game of poker where everybody's trying to out-busy the other person. You know, the first mom kind of opens up with, oh, I have two kids and they're both in soccer and one's taking AP classes. I'm just so busy. And nobody says, aw. They all say, I can do better. And then the next mom says, two kids in soccer. I can beat that. I got three kids. All three are playing soccer. One's also doing travel volleyball. Two are in AP classes. And my husband just got a promotion at work. And then the next person says, your husband, I just got a promotion at work too, so I'm now working 50 hours a week instead of 40. You got three kids. They're all in soccer, volleyball. One of them's about to start doing travel baseball as well. Two of them are in AP classes. One of them's actually taking horseback riding lessons and piano. And then the queen of busy steps up. She takes a deep breath. Says, let's go. I got four kids. They do travel volleyball, travel soccer. Two of them do travel baseball all at the same time. I got a couple kids in AP classes. One of my kids is taking classes over at Tech, trying to get some college credit early. We've decided to renovate our bathroom. I'm in charge of that. And oh, by the way, I'm pregnant. We laugh because it's true. We laugh because we know our culture speaks loudly. If you want value, be busy, because busy is better. What we learned last week, God wants better than busy. How do we find that better than busy? We go to him. Today we're going to go to a guy named Paul. Paul wrote about half of what we call the New Testament. We talk about Paul a lot here at Wellspring. Paul was an early church pastor. He wrote letters to those churches to give them instructions on how to live their life. In his letter to the church at Rome, he addresses this topic. He specifically says, your life should look different than the world around you that doesn't believe in me. If you want better, you have to try something different. If you have your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 12. Here's what Paul says. He says this. He says, look, it's very simple. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. He's saying, hey, look, if you claim to believe in God, if you claim to have a relationship with Jesus, your life must look different than the lives of people that don't have the same faith, that don't have the same belief system. Think of it this way. If I were to start tracking your time today at 1 o'clock and were to track it until Saturday at midnight, and then I were to compare your 1 o'clock today to midnight next Saturday to a friend, family, neighbor, or coworker who doesn't believe in God, if we were to just compare how you spend your time in 1 week, would they look any different? And before you answer, remember, our time reveals our priorities. So what does it say if your time looks no different than a person who doesn't believe in God? I'm just asking the question. If the way you spend your time, if the way you work, if the way you do recreation, if the way you spend time with your family, if your time looks exactly the same as someone who the only difference is they get to sleep in on Sunday mornings and you don't, how valuable does that mean that the God of the universe is in your life? And I know that's a horrible question. I know that sounds like such a mean, judgmental question, but remember, I've already told you the worst story I've ever told from this stage. There is no judgment here. There is a, I've lived it the other way, and there's better. But if you want better, you have to try something different. And I know even if we talk about right now, you're like, no, I love God. Of course, he's got a big, big part of my life. He matters to me. Okay, that's fine. But remember what we've talked about. Intentions matter only when they change our behaviors. And if we were to take your time from 1 p.m. today to midnight on Saturday and compare it to someone who has no relationship with God at all, no faith at all, and they look identical, all I'm saying is this: do not be surprised when you have the same results. But if you want better than that, which is what I believe God wants for you, I believe God wants better. Because here's what we supposedly discovered when we found a relationship with Jesus. Here's why we gave our hearts to him. Here's why we gave God control, right? We gave God control because we all kind of agreed in the moment that our life before Jesus was wrong. That our life before Jesus, we were trapped. That we were stuck in chasing things that didn't matter, and chasing values that didn't matter, and that Jesus was going to make our lives better. He was going to set us free to live the life he wanted for us. What area would you rather be set free in than your time? That in being able to be set free from having to please him and having to please her and having to keep everybody happy on this team and everybody happy on that team and everybody happy at work. I'm not saying you got to quit any of those things. I'm simply saying, what if you gave God a higher say in your life than they get? What if you decided to take Paul up at his word, where he says in Romans 12:2, do not copy the behaviors and customs of this world. Do not let your friends, family, neighbors, and coworkers, your office culture, your work culture, your sports culture, your hobby culture, your neighborhood culture, not let that dictate how you spend your time. But instead, said, you know what, God, I'm going to come to you. I'm not going to copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but I'm going to let you transform me into a new person by changing the way I think. Say, God, you know what, you're right. You came to give me a better life. You came to set me free from having to chase these other things, and you came to set me free to have contentment and peace and satisfaction that I never thought possible. You came to do that. So yeah, I'm not gonna let the outside dictate my time. This is time you've given me. I'm gonna come to you, and I'm gonna let you tell me what you think I should do with my time. And watch what happens when we do that. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. What this is essentially saying is that when you turn to God, when you invite him in, he will set you free. He will guide you to better. Specifically, when it comes to your time. But we cannot get there until we first admit we have a problem. Now, for the next 2 weeks, we're going to talk about how to solve this. But I want to have a very quick conversation with a few of you in the room. Some of you, man, you're with me. You get it. This is a struggle, and you want help. Others of you, you're like, man, I got this. This is fine. Again, let us know. We want you to help coach other people if you have this all figured out. But there's another segment of people. I know it, that you're here today. And you would never say it this way, but you're convinced I'm wrong, that I don't know what I'm talking about. I don't understand your situation. And you're right, I don't. And you're right, some of the opinions I'm giving might be wrong. I'm just a person. But I'm quoting God here. He's the one that says, don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then, and we should add, and only then, will you learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. We are all following the behaviors and customs of this world. And if everything I've been saying last week and this week, if you are in your brain making an excuse for yourself, saying, well, that doesn't apply to me. well, he can't really say that. Well, he doesn't understand my situation. Here's all I would beg. Look, I can't change your mind. But I know God wants better for you. I know God wants to set you free from that trap, because it is a trap. If you truly feel like you have to be so busy every day that you don't have time to enjoy your life, you are trapped. And our gracious Heavenly Father sent his Son and brought him back to life to prove to you he loved you enough that he wanted to set you free, that he wanted to make it better. And the first step to getting better is to admit you have a problem. To admit that you are so busy that it is blocking what's best. Just admit that. And admit that God might have something to say about how to make your life better. And if you aren't sure, then go back and remember what we talked about at the beginning of the day. Go back and remember the principle that our time reveals our priorities. If you don't believe me, ask your spouse what your time reveals about your priorities. Ask your kids what your time reveals about your priorities. Ask a trusted friend. Just ask them. Or just simply look around. When's the last time you missed what was best because you were so busy? And again, some of you might find that you've got it all figured out. You don't need any help at all. So if everything's working great, change nothing. But if it's not, if you can admit, you know what, I feel trapped. I feel trapped in this. Know that our gracious, lovingly, heavenly Father wants to set you free. And it's not enough for you to want to be set free. Because intentions matter only when they change our behaviors. So today, take a practical step to change your behavior. Take a practical step to take your eyes off of everybody else and doing what everybody else says you should do, and put them on your loving Heavenly Father, who wants to set you free from pleasing everybody else and to guide you into the best life possible. Today I have two very practical suggestions and we're done. And then we're going to pick up next week. We're going to keep going, because I know for some of you still have questions, and that's okay. It's a 4-week series. This takes time. Today, honestly, if you can just simply begin to admit that our time reveals our priorities, and to look at your life and just see what does your time say is most important, and are you happy with that? Are you okay with that? And if not, how can you make some changes? Here's a practical tip to make some changes. Start a to-don't list. We've all heard of a to-do list, right? Start a to-don't list. Think through the things, man, I'm busy, I'm running, I'm doing all these things because somebody talked me into it, they asked me to do it. Start a to-don't list. What are some things right now that you could cut out of your life? And I know it makes your heart beat really fast when you think about, because you're going to make somebody disappointed, the team mom's going to get mad, your boss is going to get mad, the coach is going to get mad. I understand that, and we'll talk through that next week. You don't have to do anything yet. But just start thinking through, what are the areas in your life? Let me help clarify. Here's how you know what you can quit and what you can't quit. You cannot quit anything that God has given you to do. You cannot quit playing your role in God's story. That's what you can't quit. I cannot quit being her spouse. My role. No one else can play that role. I cannot quit being the father to my kids. No one else can play the role. My role. I cannot quit the role God has for me at this place. My role. No one else can play that role. No one else can play your role in God's story, in your life. So what are the areas in your life where you feel like God's called you? Where you feel like God is using you? And again, for many of you, that's going to be your job. I'm not talking about quitting your job. Please don't quit your jobs. Please don't quit. That's the last thing I need is emails. Well, I quit my job and I ain't got no money. Yeah, please don't do that. But it's all about thinking through, all right, God, where are you using me Where am I making a difference? Where am I having an influence? What do I do that brings joy and brings satisfaction to my life? And what am I doing because everybody else says I have to do it? What are the things somebody else could do just as good as me? Again, no one can play your role in God's story. But that's it. That's a pretty short list. Everything else is negotiable. Just start looking. Just start looking at your to-don't list, at your hobbies and your commitments and your chores. Start looking at it. What could you possibly remove? And here's change number two. Change number two. As you start this to-don't list, start looking at some of your activities. Start looking at some of your commitments and change your conjunction. Right now, we all say and. We say baseball and soccer. We say team mom and room mom. We say this project and that project at work. We say this promotion and this new business opportunity. What if, instead of saying and, you simply started saying or? Baseball or soccer. Cheerleading or dance. This project or that project. This promotion or this new business opportunity. And I know it is so counterintuitive because everything culture says is more, more, more. But Jesus says, don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but be transformed. Let God change you. So this week, what would happen? What would happen if you simply started at the don't list and just decided to change your conjunction? When new pieces of information come in, when new opportunities come in, rather than saying this and this, say this or this. What do we keep? What about our kids? Blah, this or that. I'm just saying, it's countercultural. It's completely against what the world would say. But I am convinced it is the best step forward for us as we try to partner with God to set ourselves free from the trap of busy is better. Because ultimately what we're asking is the question we've been asking this entire series, and we will ask this entire series, and it's this: God, is this the best use of this time in my life? Now, next week, we're going to pick up right there, because next week I'm going to try to help you understand how to discover what's best. How do we know it's the right use? And the first step is to ask a better question. Right now, we ask, can I do this? Next week, I want to talk about changing that question from can I to should I. It's not can I squeeze it in. Should I do this? Is this the best for me and for my family and for what we want? It's a clarifying question where we'll pick up next week. But for this week, it's very simple. Look at your time. It tells you what's most important. And if you like what it tells you, change nothing. If you don't, start at the don't list. Change your conjunction. Invite God in to the discussion. And I'm convinced he will reveal to you better. I'm not saying it won't be painful. You may have to cut out some things. But we cut out the busy things to give us room to experience the best things, because that's what God intends for all of us. Let me pray. Father, we love you so much. God, I just thank you for your clarity today. I thank you for your desire to give us the best life possible, specifically in this area of time. God, I just beg you in this moment to bring clarity to all of us, bring conviction. Move us past intentions to actually changing our behaviors. Move us past busy so that we can discover what's best. We love you. We cannot wait to see what you're going to do this week as we seek you, as we look to you, and we make you our standard and our guide. So in your son's name we pray.
Thanks again for listening to the Wellspring Church podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, visit wellspringchurch.tv.